My name is Lawrence Reyes. I'm a KPFK director, and I am the chair pro temp of the governance committee. And today is June 1st, 2022, and this is the PNB governance committee. And I'm the secretary pro temp. Jane, I'm sorry, Jane, I cannot pronounce your last name.
It's not that hard. It's Scheidler. It's two syllables.
Oh, Scheidler. Okay,
hold
Scheidler.
On. Right. I gotta find the list, the new list.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. Just give me a second.
Take your time.
I apologize. No, I should have had it. I have two monitors, and one of them is black. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. I have a way to look. Okay. Now I have a list. Christina Avalos has requested an excused absence. Bert Cohen. Marisol Cruz. Hello? Everybody there? I've got nothing. Violetta, I saw you were here.
Yes, here.
Thank you. Jim Dingman? Jim, I know you were here a minute ago. Hey, Jim. Ooh.
Go ahead, Jen. Just move on to the next one.
I'm sorry. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
I'm here.
Okay. William Hirwagen. No response. Marianne Martinez. I know she's planning. I talked to her earlier. James McFadden. James McFadden. I hear rustling. Lawrence.
Yes, I'm here, Secretary.
Yes. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you. Myself, yes. Akio Tanaka? I've got nothing. Richard Uzel?
Here.
Thank you, Richard. Michael D.D. White?
Here.
Thank you. Carol Wolfley? Okay, I've got one, two, three, four, five, six present. What do we have? 14? I
yeah,
don't
we
think
need...
that's a quorum. I thought no, Jim we... Dingman was here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
That's seven. All right.
That's seven.
We need one more.
We need half plus
one,
more. Right?
Right, we need one more.
I think you have eight.
Anybody?
I think there are
Talk
eight.
Talk to me,
here
Richard.
Now.
Okay,
I think there
I've
are eight
got
here
I've got Violetta, Jim Dingman, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, I've got Lawrence, I've got Minerva, I've got myself. Okay, you're right. I didn't count myself. I've got Richard, Michael. That I make that seven.
Yeah, we got home. We have
I
eight.
Make that eight.
William yeah, Hairway. Yeah.
Okay, now
okay.
We have nine.
Okay.
That is nine.
Okay. Okay. Okay, we're good.
Okay, thank you, Jane, for taking role. So we have an agenda, a draft agenda. We're going to ask for any additional proposed agenda items from committee members. Is there any other items to be added to the agenda?
Lawrence?
Yeah.
I changed the order of the agenda.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But I sent it to everyone, and now I can't find it because, nah.
Okay, so when you pull it up, can you read it out on the screen?
Yeah. Hold on.
And the agenda has been posted as well to KPFGS. Thank you, Jane.
Okay. It seems to me that this is still not the right one. I apologize. I'm so sorry. Just give me a second. I don't know what happened here. Okay.
Well, Lawrence has the agenda. Why don't you read it, Lawrence?
Lawrence, everybody should have gotten the revised agenda, and I don't know why the one that I'm opening is not the most recent one, but I changed the order a little bit. And
okay, excuse me, this is
okay.
I don't have a copy of the agenda.
I just sent it about 30 minutes ago. Would you check your email, please?
I'm doing it now. Thank you.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Hello, I'm sorry, we had to answer a call. It was from Texas. Brianne was seeking the information, so I gave it to her. Everybody still there?
Chair, point of information, please.
Yes, is that Vanessa?
Yes. Okay. So the agenda, I saw the one on kpftx.org. So there's another one, a different one, an updated one?
The one the agenda that's on kpftx.org is the most up-to-date one.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Chihuahua. Yeah, no, and I apparently don't have it in my documents, so hold on. Hold on, everybody. I'm sorry. Y'all, you guys are great. You all want to hire a new secretary? That is just fine with me.
No,
I feel like an idiot.
You don't get off that easy, Jane.
Thank you. You're very kind. Okay, hold on. I'm going to close that. Stop it. Okay, now I'm going
to
fight with my computer.
You can send it to the whole committee. Yeah.
I could. Okay. You go there. You go there. I'm going to go to KPFTX.
Secretary? Chair?
Yes.
Chair. Okay, I'm sorry. I copied it from kpftx.org and sent it in an email to myself. Can I send it to the secretary and then she can send it to everybody?
Oh, please do that. I can
great.
Do it. Oh, wait, I have it. I just got it off of KPFTX.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Back to email. Compose. CNB.gov. And adding Minerva. Okay, Minerva's on the list. Who isn't on the list is Bert Cohen and Marisol and Cruz.
go. And Vanessa's second email, done, agenda. Okay, I apologize for the delay. I think we got it this time.
Okay, I'm waiting on it.
There is one.
Take a few minutes.
I just got Jane's
thank you,
email.
Richard. And this one, Irv, I have it as well. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I thought I put it on KPFA. I thought I sent it to everybody, but I didn't have Minerva and Marisol on the email list and or Bert. And so I need to update the list for the group. Okay. So,
there is another person on this call.
Okay. Should I proceed?
Hey, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Who just joined?
I don't know. I know
is
I gave the information to
Marisol here.
This is Bella DeSoto.
Bella,
okay.
I don't believe you're a member of this committee, so.
Correct. Okay,
so,
thank you. That's fine.
I'm going to have
to
excuse you, okay? All right.
I'm looking for.
Marisol is calling me, so I don't know what that's about. Oh,
okay.
Boy. Glitch.
Okay, I'm looking for Christina Avalos. Yes, no? Marisol Cruz.
Jan, Marisol is
going
to be joining us.
Okay,
Marisol,
great. Thank you, Marisol. Violetta
okay,
is here.
Make it on?
Dingman is here. Vanessa. Where's Vanessa? Vanessa is here. Bill Herwagon is here. Marianne Martinez, are you here? James McFadden, are you here?
Jen just sent an email requesting the information, so I'm going to send it to him.
Minerva is here. Jane is here. Akio Tanaka? Anything? Michael is here, and Carol Wolfley. Carol Wolfley, are you here? Okay. All right. I just got a message from Otis saying that he had updated KPFTX.
Okay.
Moving right along.
Moving right along. Okay. So I'm going
to
send.
So we're kind of in the middle of roll call, and now we're going to do committee officer elections, and the subhead is nominations.
Okay, I got it, Jane. I got it from here.
Okay.
Okay. So the new agenda is going to just disappear on me. Oh, goodness.
It's on KPFTX, if you can find it there.
I found it. Okay. So the new agenda is next order of business is committee officer elections. So why don't we start off with the chair. Are there any nominations or volunteers?
Chair Vanessa, please be recognized.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
I nominate you for chair.
Okay, I accept. Thank you.
Lawrence, this is Richard.
Yes, go ahead, Richard.
I'd like to nominate myself for the chair job.
Okay. All right, so you're volunteering. Thank you, Richard. Are there any other nominations for chair? Okay, hearing none. I guess what we have to do now is we have to commission Ferry into doing an election ballot. So I could reach out to Terry and ask him to do that, or Secretary, you could do that as well. Would you want me to do it, or do you want to do it?
Would you please do it? I don't have his number handy.
Okay. I can do it, and I'll set you his number as well so you can have it.
Thank you.
But we still have to resolve the chair pro tem for tonight. I'm willing to continue unless there's any volunteers, and we can have an election for that.
I nominate you to continue for tonight.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know who that was, but thank you.
Rick,
I will continue.
Thank you, Richard.
So next officer is very critical, very important, and that's secretary. And I'd like to call her myself, and I'd like to nominate Jane. Are there any other volunteers or nominations? Okay. Hearing none, Jane, by acclamation, you are our secretary. Are you willing to do it, Jane? I should have asked you. I'm sorry.
Well, as I said earlier today, I'm willing to do it if no one else volunteers or is volunteered.
Right.
And no one else volunteered. Cheerfully accept any help and, you know, anything I miss, y'all, please just step right up.
We certainly will. This is Pacifica, so I'm sure people will. So thank you so much for accepting.
And be nice.
And be nice. Very important. Right. Be nice. Okay. Very important to be nice, but it's more important to be nice than it is important to be important. Okay.
Well,
right.
We can be right. We can be right and also be nice.
Exactly. Okay. I will continue with the agenda. So I'm reading out the agenda out loud so the KPFTX stream will have it. Right now we're on additional proposed agenda items from committee members and approval or draft of amended agenda.
Lawrence, this is Richard.
Go ahead, Richard, go ahead.
I don't know everybody on this committee, and I would like to make a little statement about who I am.
Sure. I think that's a fair thing, and then I could follow you, Richard. That's okay.
Okay, I don't mind. You want me to just start?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Okay. I'm a native Houstonian who lived other places some 40 years, but moved back to Houston when I retired. I'm a carpenter who went back to school and got a couple of architecture degrees at the University of Texas, Austin. I was also a care provider for family members for 13 years, but I've mostly worked designing and building buildings and contracting construction. I was around KPFT when it was started in 1970 and helped build the first two studios. Then I moved away. I came back to be part of the first batch of elected LSB, mostly as secretary, but also as finance, governance, and affiliates. I've been on the PNB a couple of times, again, mostly as secretary, governance, and affiliates. A couple of years ago, BAI was, before BAI was washed off of Wall Street, a fellow member of our building committee, a group I co-founded to help maintain our station, drove to BAI and worked with other members of I on a two-week renovation of BAI. So y'all may remember us from that. Also, a few years ago, I helped the Pacifica Tech people build an interim station for WPFW when they had to move from Adams Morgan. I stepped away for 4 years, but was asked to come back to be secretary. The secretary thing keeps following me around. Although I've always supported reducing the size of Pacifica's boards, I did not and don't support the New Day proposal because I don't think it's logical and it would pretty much kill democracy at Pacifica. But I have a lot of friends who are New Day and different other things, and I don't, you know, I work pretty well with everybody, and I don't mind working with everybody around the foundation because I firmly think that we need Pacifica more than ever, and we have a lot of work to do. Thank you, Lawrence, for what you've been doing.
Thank you, Richard. So my name is Lawrence Reyes. I'm a LSV member from KPFK and also a director, a listener director from KPFK. I know Richard for many years. He's a stand-up guy, a stand-up person, I'm sorry. He's definitely stiff competition, if you will, right? And I think whoever you elect as chair is going to be a good chair. My experience in governance I was around for the bylaw, the initiation of the new bylaws. I also had been a director a couple of times. I served 1 year with Richard on the PNB. And George Ryder, may he rest with the ancestors, a really good friend of mine from Houston. I was part of the restoration to normal operating procedures at WBAI. At the time, I was the chair of the PNB, and we were able to restore WBAI to what it continues to be, a vibrant station. I come from WBAI. I'm a native New Yorker. I'm a product of the Black Panther Breakfast Program and the Black Panther After School Program. And I was taught by the then mothers in the Black Panther Party. So I'm very grateful for that because I don't believe that I would be alive today if it wasn't for the Black Panther Party and the Breakfast Program because I am Boricua, which is of Puerto Rican descent. And I lived in poverty, and the Black Panther Party, the Food Breakfast Program, was critical in regards to receiving sustenance and nurturance to continue to stay alive. I was IED for about 2 months when I was chair came up and restore the foundation from the Pacifica restructuring project, and then we were attacked again by New Day Pacifica, and we had to spend a whole bunch of money again on defending ourselves and defending democracy in Pacifica. I do know people on the other side. I had a hard time reconciling their points on democracy. Yesterday on the elections committee, I attended and I was gagged. I was not allowed to speak, and then the director, as Richard knows, is always standard practice and procedure policy for PNB directors to be able to attend any committee that they are willing to attend. And I was blocked. And there was opposition to me participating. And I know I run the elections committee and the governance committee. and I've always opened it outside of the box to public comment. And so I don't think this committee would want to do that this year. I've always been one for listening to democracy and transparency. So, and that's what I offer you all. And I am busy in governance committee. I am a county social worker for Los Angeles County. I also sit on the executive board of my union local. I am pro-worker, pro-union, and pro-human rights. So I know I said a lot, but I just wanted to introduce myself to you all. Thank you. So there you go. You have me and Richard as your nominees, and it would not bother me at all if Richard was to be the chair, but I also would like to be your chair. So I appreciate Richard stepping up. He's a stand-up fellow. I know him for a long time. And so with that, you want to entertain any questions, Richard, or should we move on?
I can if you want to.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or any comments in regards to Richard and I stating our qualifications? Okay. If none. We'll go on to the next item.
Wait. You were too fast.
Okay, sorry about that.
Hold on. I keep getting text messages from my granddaughter. I just want to say that as a newly elected member of the KPFT LSB, Richard has been my rock and my salvation. He has supported me and guided me, even though I've been involved with KPFT, as I said, for 40 years. I've never been involved. I hadn't been involved in the governance of KPFT until last fall. And Richard has been incredibly supportive and very sharing of all of his knowledge. And that said, I want to say that Lawrence has, and on this committee, Lawrence has also been very open to my suggestions, and both of them are extremely well qualified. And I have several grumpy old men in my life, and Richard is one of them, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen. I'm not going to comment, but I'm a grumpy old man. Some of my friends think I am.
Yeah.
I never perceive Richard as being a grumpy old guy. Okay. Do anyone else want to make a comment or have any questions for either Richard or I? Okay. Thank you, Jen, for your comments. For both of us, appreciate it. It shows deference to both of us. I appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Richard. And thank you, committee, for listening to us. All right, so anything else for the proposed agenda from committee members before I go on to the next thing on the agenda? Okay. Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. Never mind. Jim Dingman is still having a problem.
Oh. No, I'm all right.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to delete your email. Thank you.
Okay.
You're making me nervous here.
Okay. Did James McFadden make it on? Because I sent him the information. I texted him the information.
Lawrence, I have a question.
Yes.
Are we going to vote tonight? Did we get hold of Terry? Did you text Terry?
No. The election is done by email ballot. Will set up. Terry is the teller, and he has an assistant called John P. Gary III, they will set up ballots to be sent to all committee members.
because it's a secret ballot.
Okay. I apologize. You're good.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Good question. Did James McFadden make it on?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, welcome. I've got him present.
Okay, thank you. Then the next thing on the agenda, I didn't hear any additional items for the draft agenda. The next thing on the agenda is... Yes.
Florence? Yeah, yes. This is Jim Dingman. I wanted to raise the question of what happened to you yesterday at the election committee, as an issue of is a director allowed to go to any committee since the committees are subsets subordinate to the PNB? And I just throw that. I don't know if you want to talk about it tonight, but I, as you know, myself and Jim went to the KPFA LSB. We got ejected from their executive session. So it raises questions as to what the rights of the directors are to actually go and participate, because that sounds absolutely ridiculous that they wouldn't allow you to attend that meeting. That's absurd.
This is Jane, and I'm going to say that there's a huge gulf between listening in and, in this world of Zoom, and voting. So being present is one thing, unless it's executive session. An executive session is limited to the members of the committee, but certainly all directors are welcome at all committee meetings, but they can't vote.
Jane, let me just provide you additional information. So directors are allowed to go into committees and into executive sessions of those committees. Now, they do not have a vote, but from what I understand, and it's been practiced, and maybe Richard could confirm that, is that they could have a voice. And that's what I was asking for yesterday, was a voice. I wasn't asking for a vote. I did attend the meeting, and I was not allowed to raise my voice. So I wasn't looking to vote on anything. But having been the chair last year of the elections committee, I believe, and being a director, directors have standing. And I think that's something that we could take up. I haven't had the time to call the chair of the PNB because I've just been so busy with work that I didn't have the opportunity to do that. But I will get clarification because I believe it is PNB practice and policy for directors to have the allowance to attend committee meetings and executive sessions of those committee meetings, because we are fiduciary holders of the licenses to our five stations.
Richard,
which I think is what I said. I think that was what I said, isn't it?
No, from what I heard was that that I was trying to obtain a vote, and that wasn't the case at all. That's what I heard.
Okay.
I could be
Thank
wrong.
You. Okay. What I said was attending but not voting. That's what I thought I said. So I apologize. If I didn't say what I think I said, because it could happen.
Okay. No, no big deal. I believe I heard Richard.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you some questions about it. I hadn't heard about that. That sounds unfortunate, at least, if not worse. Was it an open session? Executive session? Open session?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let you participate?
They won't let me comment on something. But, I really, I think we could carry this over for the next meeting. I wouldn't want, I wouldn't want to be the news of this committee meeting because we have things on the agenda.
Okay, let's move forward with our agenda and then tack it
that's
on
what I'm trying
the bottom
to do,
if we have time. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add, I agree we should move on, but I just wanted to interject that, you know, there's a whole other aspect of this that we're under California law and pertaining to nonprofits. And the question becomes, people are arguing that, well, Robert's Rules of Orders doesn't allow this, but then what about the California Code? Anyway, I agree we should move on. I just offer that as another wrinkle to this whole issue.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Anyone else want to comment before we go on to the agenda? Okay. Hearing nothing else. So then the next thing we have, proposed committee goals for the year by WPFW Director Vanessa Ditson-Briggs. And then discuss what could be shared with LSD meetings from PNB executive sessions. That's an agenda item on the PNB agenda that we have not gotten to. And then the next thing that I suggested for the agenda is non-disclosure agreements and electronic communications agreements and an ethics criteria for all Pacifica governance members. So let me go back and give everyone an opportunity to propose anything for the agenda. Does anyone have anything they want to propose for the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, I guess what we'll do is go to Vanessa, do you want to give us an update as to what you had
wait,
in mind?
Chair, do we need to accept by acclamation the amended agenda or the approved?
Thank you, Jim.
Approve the agenda. I think that's not a thing, but
No. That's in order. Are there any objections to the draft agenda? Okay, hearing none. Just make note that we will discuss the director's participation in committee meetings and executive session next meeting, please, Jane.
Got it.
Thank you. I'll go to Vanessa. Vanessa, you want to take the floor? Vanessa? Okay. Am I still being heard? Hello?
This is Jane. I can hear you.
Okay.
Vanessa,
do you hear me? Vanessa, is she still there? Or did she fall off? Okay, let's go back to Vanessa. Why don't we go to the next agenda item? So is everyone okay with that? Okay. The next thing on the agenda is discuss what could be shared with LSVs from PNB executive sessions. So I'll open it up for the wisdom of the committee. This would inform me as to how I can engage in the discussion when that motion comes up at the PNB. And also, we could also provide a recommendation if that's what the committee wants to do. So I'll open
it up. This is Jane.
Go ahead, Jane.
To the best of my knowledge, and I'm open to correction, is that anything in executive session, including PNB executive session, is limited to the members that are in that executive session and should not be shared. And prove me wrong, as they say.
Okay. Thank you for your perspective. Anyone else? Okay. So I will call on myself. I believe that there's some information that could be redacted and could be shared with LSVs with one proviso. And that proviso is that they have signed an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, an electronic communication motion, and that things that are proprietary or things that are of a sensitive nature. And what do I mean by that? It could mean things that are pending that require, if personnel matters, for instance, is one sensitive area. So that's what I wanted to share about that. Does anyone?
And I'm going to stand here and say that anything that is
Jane,
in executive
hold on, Jane,
session.
Jane, excuse me, Jane, hold on, please. I understand that's your secretary, but you still should seek recognition because
Michael
other
White
people
need. Back.
Thank you, Jane, to the staff.
Okay, I just heard somebody else. Who was that?
Michael White to the staff.
Go ahead, Michael. Jane, I'll come back to you.
So this is a difficult issue, but there are times when we have executive sessions, and in those executive sessions, we discuss things that are privileged and confidential, and we also discuss things that are not privileged and confidential. The question is, what is the right of people to reveal and publicly promulgate information about those things that are not subject to actual executive privilege and confidentiality. If they do so and they're wrong in exercising their judgment, they're in huge jeopardy, potentially. But if they're right, then they're not wrong. And, you know, that is information is something that they can share. So it's nuanced.
Yeah, William for the stack.
Go ahead, William, you have the floor.
Thank you. I don't think it's nuanced at all. If it wasn't exactly confidential, it shouldn't have been an executive session, and it shouldn't be subject to any, whatever it is, misinformation or leaking, if you like that word. So I disagree entirely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, Tom's back.
Hold on one second, Michael. So let me just challenge the committee. I think
Jane
one
is
of the
still
ways,
in the stack.
I hear you. Just
thank
one of the
you.
Ways. Yeah. One of the ways is to try to determine what you think could be reported out of the executive session. So maybe that's one thing. Go ahead, Michael, and then I'm going to go to Jane because she's next. But I guess you have a direct response, right?
Yeah, I think the previous committee member made a reference to the possibility that you go into executive session. And in that executive session, maybe what he referred to, or that person referred to, discussing things that were not confidential at all and should not have been in executive session. In that case, it does become available to the public. Sometimes you get a mixture. In fact, I would say more often, that's the problem. You go into executive session, there are things that you discuss that are, you know, clearly the reason you were in executive session. And at the same time, it's hard to separate, resist, whatever, discussing things that are absolutely of general concern and have no reason to be withheld from the public. Or, you know, as was said by the previous speaker, shouldn't have been an executive session at all. And if it shouldn't have been an executive session at all, the fact that it was in executive session doesn't mean that it should continue to be hidden from the public.
Thank you, Michael. I'm going to go to Jane, and then I'd like to hear from people who haven't spoken. I'll go ahead, Jane.
Okay, thank you, Michael. You brought up a really good point. That is Beaner and the announcement choice going into executive session should be limited to financial and personnel matters and other matters that are specifically prescribed to executive session. And therefore, they are not available to the rest of the LSB or the PNB or the general public. And that is by definition. You only go into it. And if somebody brings up something in executive session that is not there, then it should be ruled out of order. And the person convening the executive session should be in charge of that. And we need strong leadership. And Lawrence has done a good job. And I know that Richard will also do a good job. You know, I spend way too much time with Robert's Rules of Order, and I am very committed to running meetings with high integrity and consciousness and inclusion where everywhere where anything should be included. It should be as transparent as possible, and there are a few things that should be discussed in executive session, and we all know what they are. And if somebody brings up something in executive session that should not be there, it should be ruled out of order. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your perspective, Jane. Anyone else that hasn't spoken, I would and really encourage you to chime in on this very important issue.
Vanessa, please.
Okay, I heard the male voice first. Who was that?
Jim to the staff.
And Vanessa.
Okay. So I heard Jim first. If that's okay, I'll go to Jim and then you, Vanessa. Better, Jim.
I think I was the first one to chime in, but I don't care.
No, let Jim go. I don't care. Don't worry about it. Go on, Jim.
Referring, Jim? Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. I'm going to go by McFadden because there's too many Jims around in this organization. So.
Okay.
Can you please speak up because I could barely hear you.
I'll try to talk a little louder.
That's better.
I think that the problem becomes if every person who's in the meeting of executive session is using their own judgment to try to determine what is and isn't appropriate, then it can be kind of this free for all about what's going to be shared outside. And I have to say, I like the idea of the chair. If there's inappropriate things that don't have to be an executive session, having the chair rule that, you know, that's not appropriate for the executive session. And then that just removes any choice in, you know, in what you would and would not share. You know, it just becomes determined everything said isn't shared. And then, you know, except what will be decided at the end of the executive session, which is actually a statement of what was covered. And it just seems like that just simplifies it and prevents misunderstanding and miscommunication.
I'm sorry, Jim. Could you just repeat that for the minutes? I'm sorry.
Jan, I got almost the Jane, entire thing. Jane, please.
I am taking notes for the minutes.
I understand that you're taking notes, but you're being very interruptive too, and you're going to have the recording as well. So please report. Mr. McFadden, what you were saying to our secretary.
I'm just to repeat, I'll try to shorten it. I support executive session being entirely confidential to avoid any choice in what people decide is and isn't, what should and should not be confidential. It just avoids that conflict where somebody has to decide. And I agree that, you know, the easy way to do that is to have the chair rule conversations that go off track as being not appropriate for the executive session. As I think if we have choice in it, it's gonna just become a problem, you know, when everybody's gonna determine what it is and isn't separate.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your perspective, James. And I gather you captured that, right, Jane?
Got it.
Okay, thank you. I believe Vanessa?
Yeah, first of all, I apologize before. I don't know what was wrong with my phone. I could hear you all perfectly, but I just couldn't be heard. So I switched devices, so I hope now I can be heard. So I agree with McFadden's statement in terms of the confidentiality of an executive session. That's the whole point. It's a confidential matters, not for public ears, just for that executive body. But I do believe, and so the assumption should be that everything is confidential. We don't share anything. However, there can be exceptions to the rule. And I think that's probably few and far between. There have been certain discussions that particular LSBs were intensely interested in knowing how an issue was developing. And so those directors from that station or those stations requested, hey, is it okay for us to share this particular piece of information with the LSB? So I think, yes, it's confidential, but there can be exceptions upon request.
Thank you. Vanessa, are you done?
Yes.
I got it. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your perspective. Anyone else that hasn't spoken yet?
Yes, I wanted to speak.
Is that Richard?
No, oh,
Jim.
Okay, go ahead, Jim. Sorry, Patrick. I don't know why it's closed.
All right. Can you hear me? Am I coming in okay?
Yeah, you're coming in fine.
Okay. It's a real dilemma because right now we have serious fiscal issues throughout the entire network. And the dilemma is, how do we square an honest discussion with the public about these issues as opposed to keeping them in executive session? I personally think that these kind of issues should be discussed out loud with the general public because they are the bulk of the source of our revenue, and they need to know the skinny as to what is going on. I certainly think personnel issues are different because, as all of us know, those of us on the board know, and the people on this committee know, there is intense litigation over the most minor things, and we've already seen several decisions which have cost us considerable amounts of money. So that's another dilemma. And the final dilemma is the question of there are individuals who have not signed, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not sure, I could be wrong, but have not signed NDAs, and they're still participating in executive sessions. And so that is sort of uncomfortable because we don't know what the use of that information is being done for their external goals, at least that's my opinion. And, you know, that's the sort of dilemma we're facing with the issue of a complete closure of information in executive session. I really think that the fiscal situation of the foundation should be known publicly to all the listener members, and it should be broadcast out loud so that people understand what is going on right now and the dangers we're in. And I think there's enough of a public awareness about that. I'm not sort of, you know, going out of tune here to mention dangers we are in. Thank you.
Jane, to the stack.
Carol, to the stack.
Hold on, Jane. I'm going to go to Carol because she hasn't spoken. Go ahead, Carol.
Sure.
Yeah, I had a point of order. I was concerned, and I just want to say that I'm now in the meeting, but I was concerned because that, Jane, I believe you mentioned that you're taking notes, and while I think notes may be helpful, the minutes include resolutions, not notes, because it's very problematic to try to capture what each person is saying and the intent. And so Robert's Rules of Order stipulates that you're just to take the resolutions and how they were, you know, how they were decided.
Okay, so that's a point of order.
Yeah,
your point is well taken, Carol.
Thank you.
And when the chair and the secretary get together to compose the minutes, we will definitely bear that in mind. Okay?
Thank you. And I just did want to comment on the other issue. The discussion, and I didn't know, I came in late. I'm sorry, I didn't know if there is a motion on the table right now, but I did want to say that I agree that there needs to be transparency about the financials so that people can have an understanding about. So I know that some of the information that our LSB received that was to be shared only in closed session, it was surprising to me why some of that was only to be shared in closed session.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your point. No, there was no motion on that, Carol. There was only a comment from WBI Director Jim Diggleman. Anyone who hasn't spoken wish to speak on this matter? Okay, hearing none. Jane, you have the floor, and then I'm going to call on myself.
There's a big difference between, and I am as concerned about the fiscal health of Pacifica as anyone else, maybe more than some. There's a big difference, and I don't think anyone in this meeting has confused the difference between issues that are discussed in executive session and issues that need to be discussed with the board at large, the LSBs, and the contributing community at large. They're internal financial issues should be addressed in executive session. Bigger financial issues will need to be discussed to the membership at large. And I don't think that's an issue. It's two totally different things. It's just two totally different things. And I think that what Jim said was very good. And I just wanted to reiterate that. And to Carol, I'm actually in training to be a registered parliamentarian, and I know what goes in the minutes. And I don't mean to sound snippy at all, because, you know, I love constructive criticism. And anything you think I miss in the minutes, please bring it. I'm on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jane. So I'm going to call on myself unless there's somebody who hasn't spoken that would wish to have the floor. Okay. So I completely associate myself with the remarks of Jim and Jane McFadden in regards to the checks and balances that already built in, for lack of a better word, the governance system, right? I think the chair should have the discretion, and the check on that is that it could be, please mute yourself if you don't have the floor. The check on that could be that decision. Please mute yourself if you don't have the floor. The check on that could be that her decision is challenged and more discussion ensures. So I think it's a good check and balance in regards to that. I do agree that some certain financial matters, financial reports, should be made public because there are people who are screaming for transparency and wanting to know the health that our network is in, right? So I just wanted to add that. Are there any other, is there anyone else that wish to be heard on this? Okay. And I want to make an announcement for the streaming. If you have any input or any comments, please write to pnb@pacifica.org and in your subject line, put Governance Committee, PNB Governance Committee. This way we could receive your input and we could workshop it as well. Okay. Again, let me go back. Is there anyone else that want to comment on this particular issue in regards to this, discuss what could be shared with other fees from the PNB executive sessions? And my challenging question was, what do you think, what are some of the items that you think could be shared with the other fees?
Lawrence, I wanted to say something about this. This is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
In reality, we know that there are options that are pretty dire that are being discussed openly and leaked from these kind of meetings. I personally find those options that are being leaked essentially nihilistic because they prevent us from concentrating on what we can do immediately. We've not lost control of the air at any of the stations. We can change a lot on a dime in moving forward. And I think that to focus in on the negative, and I'm not being unrealistic. I'm well aware of their problems. But I think that we should be trying to stress to keep the network intact and push forward to try to improve the weaker stations, and that is in the realm of our possibility to do that within days, if not weeks, even with all the problems occurring. And so all the gloom and doom we get leaked out from these different sessions doesn't counter the fact that we still have the ability to move positively forward, period. And that, to me, is what I find particularly annoying and irritating about how people are selectively leaking things out from executive sessions to essentially reinforce their own agendas or group agendas. That's my opinion about this.
Thank you, Jen. Anyone else before
we move on? Wait. Which it doesn't matter. Never mind. I'm sorry. Apologize.
It's okay. So does anyone else want to comment on this particular item? Okay.
Lawrence, this is Richard. May I have the...
Oh, go ahead, Richard.
Be on the staff. Yeah, but, mm-hmm. I haven't said anything. I haven't said anything yet on this. I think, you know, we can always find something to disagree with, and it's kind of like, I think it's like, who was that? Jim, just before me, was saying, you're always going to be able to find something to disagree with. And I'm frustrated sometimes when I see people trying to move things to executive session. I think we need to be very careful not to do that excessively. And, you know, there is very specific things that, and somebody listed them earlier, very specific things that we have to go to executive session for. And other than that, I agree with Dingman. I think we, you know, the people need to know about it. But as far as leaking things, we can't do that either. You know, and Lawrence said this, I think, that we have a system, and we can always find problems with systems. But if we have a PNB and that's our executive group, and they have an executive session, we can't leak that stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Mr. Chair, is there a time for public comment at all?
No.
This committee we have not decided whether we're going to have public comment or not, Bella. But you have to get off the call. You really have to get off the call because you're not a committee member. Respectfully, please get off the call.
Oh, I am so sorry. I did not know that. I will turn out.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a good segue. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I don't understand why we're treating this like it's an executive session. The public certainly can listen. I don't think that you have to get off the call. This is not an executive session. This is an open session of the Governance Committee.
This is Jane, and I agree.
Hold on, Jane. Hold on, Jane, please. Because last year we did allow for public comment. But normally the practice is that people could listen to the stream for the meetings. Now, if this committee decides to allow the public in, which I don't oppose, to be clear, then the committee can make that decision. And I don't want to do it unilaterally because we did that as a special rule last year. But, you know, it is up to the committee. I do not feel comfortable asking people to leave. Believe me, I did not feel comfortable last night when I was gagged. So I understand the need for the public to be informed. So I guess go ahead, Jane. I'm sorry, I cut you off in mid-sentence. Go ahead, Jane.
No, all I'm saying is that all members are welcome to listen, just not vote or comment. That was all I wanted to say, which is pretty much what you just said.
Okay.
Am I right? I think that was
said. The only slight difference is that last year we did allow public comment on both the Elections Committee and the Governance Committee. But that's up to the committee to decide. It's not a
have to have public comment, but we certainly don't have to exclude the public from listening in. We don't need to exclude them. They can listen but not participate. And that's all I was trying to say.
Right. But the codes that were given out for this committee were codes that were for committee members, not for the public. So go ahead.
This is Richard. I have a question.
Go ahead, Richard.
Don't we stream these meetings so they can listen? They can be listening without being on the call.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Under normal circumstances.
Right.
Barring weather and, yeah.
So does anyone else want to comment on this? On William Headwagon's concerns that we shouldn't ask people to leave if they actually got the phone number and the codes for committee members only. I thought that was somewhat unusual.
Carol for the deck.
Carol. Wait, is that Carol?
Hold on a second. Hold on, Carol. I hear you. And Marisol hasn't spoken yet, so I'm going to go to her first. Then I'll go to you, Carol. Go ahead, Marisol.
Yes, thank you, Lawrence. In regards to having members of the public participate, I think that's a valid point. In regards to voting and, you know, closed session agendas, then yes, definitely just among committee members. To make sure that we are being discreet and abide by, confidentiality and whatnot. I just don't see an issue in regards to people wanting to listen in. I think it's good practice to be open and transparent. And that's just my two cents on all. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol Wolfley?
Thank you. And somebody asked if it was Carol. Yes, it's if you couldn't just recognize that I'm in the meeting, Jane.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I think it's important to just be in alignment with what's mandated, first of all, and then if we want to add other things, that's good. But it is mandated, you know, and our agreement with CPB is that these meetings, these Pacifica committee meetings will be streamed, and that we do provide minutes And I think that's an important thing for all of the Pacifica committee meetings. And then my understanding from in an inquiry with Otis is that the local station meetings, they do not need to be streamed, but they do need to provide minutes. The one thing, so there are a lot of minutes missing, and there are a lot of streams, there are some streaming missing that haven't been posted. But the most serious violation of the bylaws, as far as I can see, is that public comments, while they are not required at committee meetings, they are required of the PNB. And the PNB does not have public comments. And so that would be one area where we are out of compliance with the bylaws that we might want to keep in mind as a governance committee.
Thank you, Carol. That is an excellent point, and believe it or not, I support it. If you decide to draft a motion for me to take to the PNB, because I know that I participated in public comment at PNB meetings when they were held in person. This is a virtual thing. Meetings are being held virtually now. But I believe that rule still exists, right? So if any other committee members want to put together a motion to request to the PNB to have public comment on the Zoom, then I certainly am open to it. I'm open to reading it. Are there any other comments? This is we went off the agenda a little bit, but I thought that William's point was well taken. So I guess this is a good segue into the next agenda item. The next agenda item is non-disclosure agreements, electronic communication agreements, and ethics criteria for all Pacifica governance members. And I'd like to open it up to the committee.
Vanessa to the stack.
Hi, Vanessa.
Okay. So in terms of the non-disclosure agreements, I agree with the point you made earlier that in terms of if there are PNB directors who have not signed what I had believed is a required document for us to sign, that they should not be allowed to participate in executive session. If that's a point of protest for them, then presumably they've made a choice not to participate in that discussion. In terms of this committee and even other committees, election governance, whatever committees are going to hold executive session, I'm wondering if the NDAs that at least the directors have already signed, if they also would apply to the committees on which we serve. And that's all.
Thank you, Vanessa. I'll put myself on the stack after other people have spoken, because I have an experience with my own speech. Who's that? Michael D.D. White? I believe I heard your voice. Was that you?
Yes, Michael White's on the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
So, directors are bound to confidentiality, and those are that has to do with our bylaws and the general law. If we try to construct non-disclosure agreements, then we are trying to. If we're going to try and do it, we're going to have to try and construct something that is no greater and not lesser than the bylaws, and no greater and not lesser than the law. I think that these requiring non-disclosure agreements for directors who are already subject to these requirements is dangerous. and we shouldn't be doing it. We should only be using it when we invite people in to participate with our directors in situations that are not covered by the fact that they're directors. So basically, creating a non-disclosure agreement could redefine an existing set of rights and, you know, do an overlay, which is not going to be healthy, because then the question is, what takes precedence, the law, the bylaws, or the non-disclosure agreement? And I don't think people are expert enough to know when they're signing these agreements or when they're writing these agreements and sticking them in front of someone else to get it right.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else?
Vanessa to the stack after others have spoken.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. Anyone else that hasn't spoken? Okay, so I'll call on myself real quick. So our LSV, everyone has signed a non-disclosure agreement. I serve on the executive board of the largest union in Southern California, and the largest international in the United States. And we had to sign non-disclosure agreements. We had to sign an electronic communications agreement. We had to take an ethics test, and we had to pass it with 70 or better in order for us to be deemed as being able to engage in ethical governance. And so that's why I suggested it for the agenda, because I'm very uncomfortable, especially with the amount of leaks that have gone out to some people who are intent on changing the nature of governance. So, and they have not signed non-disclosure agreements, so, or the electronic communications agreement. And Pacifica at this time does not have an ethics criteria to inform and to better educate ourselves in regards to what is ethical and what is unethical. And that is a problem for me. So that's something that I will be working on. I've had conversations with some directors and the executive director as well in regards to developing an ethics criteria. Not only that, but to go even further than that, developing a policy of equity, developing equity, inclusion, and diversity. No, equity, diversity, and inclusion, EDI, which is something that is part of the labor market, is part even in private business. They have EDI, and they also have anti-bullying policies and sexual harassment training and cultural sensitivity. So we are behind on that, and that is something that I believe we need to, I'm hoping that as a governance committee that we could engage in this effort to develop that kind of criteria that I believe is necessary for a nonprofit like us. So I'll go to anybody else that wants to speak on this.
Well, I'll Vanessa. Jim to stack, but I'll
Carol
speak
for this stack.
Okay, hold on. All right, so since everybody has gotten a bite of the apple, I got Vanessa, Carol, and then I believe I heard Richard. Was that you, Richard?
No, it's me, Jim.
Jim, okay. So I'll go with Vanessa.
And Jane. Jane to the stack.
Okay, Vanessa, Carol, Jim, and Jane. Anyone else?
Michael, wait
okay.
for the second.
Okay, Mike, I'll put you at the end of the stack. Go ahead, Vanessa, and then Carol, Jim, and then Michael. Oh, no,
okay.
Carol, Jim, and then Jane, and then Michael, sorry.
Okay, so let me say very quickly, I keep getting cut off from the line, so if I disappear, that's what's happened. I'll just dial back in. So before I get cut off again, I've been, like I'm sure all of us, have been serving on various boards for a long time. I've never been on a board that required an NDA, but I've also never been on boards where confidential information, at least to my knowledge, was being leaked. And so this requirement by the PNB for us to sign an NDA comes out of the experience of highly, highly sensitive and confidential information of a legal and personnel nature, both having been disclosed. And it's extremely problematic. So in that context, I absolutely agree. Otherwise, what do we do? How do we even try to deal with, you know, lapses of integrity, you know, spreading damaging information? We have to do something. And so I think that the circumstances necessitate that an action be taken, and I believe this is the most logical action to take, and I believe, at least on the PMB, and maybe any other committee that members who don't want to do this should not be privy to confidential information. And that's it.
Thank you, Vanessa. Carol.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate what Lawrence is saying about ethics and training in ethics, because I think what happens is a lot of people get involved in Pacifica governance because of, you know, maybe their political interests and wanting to ensure that certain political issues are on the radio or something, but they're not as familiar with, you know, managing $100 million worth of assets, or they're not experienced in finances or personnel issues, HR. And some of the issues with HR are very complex. And so when people come on a board, they may not have that experience and that training. And I think it's really important to have training before we have policing. Because one of my concerns, and I think this came up at the Governance Committee last year, was that people were bringing issues publicly involving personnel issues and past personnel issues and talking about them on the stream in this meeting. And, you know, Lawrence and other people stepped in and made it clear, you know, we can't talk about this in open session, and this may not be appropriate for this meeting. So I think we need to start with that. And then the other thing is, I think we have to be very careful about policing and how the policing is done, so that we're not having violations on top of possible violations of people's rights, and how the policing needs to be, you know, enforcement of any agreement. So I, and also I think there are issues, and one of the things that has come up recently is like issues of if a person is concerned that there are, you know, inappropriate or actions that are going on that are not in alignment with federal regulations or broadcasting regulations or other kinds of regulations, you know, what is the legality of a person taking information to a to other bodies or to address situations? So then we're getting into really challenging territory there. And those are legal issues. And like what Michael was saying, I think we have to be careful because when you're working with bylaws plus state of California issues. It may also go into FCC regulations, California corporate code. These are complex situations. So I think, and the bylaws, which are entirely confusing. So so that I would caution, and I would speak against this motion at this time, if there is a motion.
Thank you, Carolyn. No, at this time, there's no motion. I think we might be working towards that. I believe Jim, and then Jane, and then Michael.
Well, I know I proposed a few months ago to have as fast as possible compliance and energy directed to get money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and we know that for a wide variety of reasons that was not completed. But one aspect of the CPB's new regulations is that it requires, and this is an interpretation, but I was talking with a whole variety of people about this, it requires every single person in Pacifica involved with the production of radio to have sexual harassment training. We're talking about, what, probably 1,000 people. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But, you know, I would even throw in, you know, given the kind of toxic work environments, I'd even throw in the necessity to have people trained in what is a hostile work environment, because there's all these situations walking around that, given the ability and desire of some to just go straight to the litigation option, are just walking around literally asking for trouble with that kind of situation. I think that the fact that people are on the boards and decide not to sign NDAs or the other aspect you mentioned, I assume by electronic communication agreement, you mean what, Lawrence? You mean just basically not I'm unclear as to what that exactly means, but we know that this is a problem. And again, we get back to the issue that was raised earlier about what is selectively leaked and what is not selectively leaked. And part of what the problem is that the people leak things because they want to have a demoralizing effect on lots of people as a result of the facts or distortion of the facts or how they want to interpret the facts that they decide to leak. And, you know, that's something I find rather worrisome because, you know, are we here for? I'm not here to engage in a bizarro comic book Game of Thrones all the time, which is what some people seem to want to do. I'm here to see that we turn the whole situation around for the better. So I think that the NDA issue at the national level is quite troublesome, that some people decide to pick and choose what they decide to sign. And I don't like the idea of policing anybody. You know, I've seen Animal Farm type tactics deployed in Pacific on and off for a couple of decades, and they don't work out too well. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Jane, and then Michael. And if nobody wants to speak, I'll call on myself. Jane? Hello? Am I still audible? Hello? Hello?
We hear you, Lauren.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I called on Jane. Jane, you have the floor. Okay, maybe she's having difficulty unmuting. I'll go to Michael, then I'll come back to Jane. Michael?
All right. So there was some question that one of the other members raised about what they had seen with other corporations. So when I represented all of the state finance corporations here in New York, and there were a lot of them, we had lots of members, and we didn't have anyone sign a non-disclosure agreement. Did we expect them to observe confidentiality? Yes, because that was what the law was. Right at the get-go, when I was at WBAI, I was on a general manager evaluation committee, and people stuck a non-disclosure agreement in front of me that had been used by some previous committee, and I looked at it, and the thing was total garbage. And it didn't just involve non-disclosure. It involved all sorts of surrendering of rights and agreeing to arbitration and agreeing to liability. And I said, I know because of my position that I am subject to confidentiality requirements. I'm not going to sign this. But when we had a later committee where the committee was comprised partly of people who were LSP members and partly of people who had been elected who were not LSP members, we had the non-LSP members who were not subject, by any legal concept, by the general legal concept that applies, as I said to the finance corporation members, or to me as an LSP in that previous situation, we had the people joining our committee sign something that, they're not a member or whatever, and they're now on this committee, and they're being, going to be subject to a lot of confidential information, receipt of a lot of confidential. We had them sign something that said they needed to know that they had to observe confidentiality. And I think that's where you draw the line. But trying to redefine the relationship that already exists by law, that already exists under the bylaws, and the way it can be abused, for instance, and had been abused in this previous committee, where they said, okay, you're going to agree to be, have your first child attached and everything. You just don't want to reinvent the wheel with something that is going to be inferior.
Thank you, Michael. Jane, are you audible now?
No, I'm good. I'm just waiting for somebody. As secretary, if anybody wants to make a motion, I am right here to write it down.
Okay. Thank you, Jane. Does anybody who hasn't spoken wish to speak? If not, I'll call on myself. Okay. So I believe there was two questions for me regarding what I said earlier. An electronics communication agreement is exactly that, that if you receive an electronic communication that is confidential in nature, then by signing this agreement, you agree not to forward it or, quote, leak it, if you will. So that's that. And then the ethics criteria is a criteria that would highlight what is ethical and what is unethical. So that's something that I've been, for lack of a better word, subject to as a result of being an executive board member in my union. Because we come across, a lot of things come across our desk, and we do public work with community members and other locals and other unions. So that's clarified Jim's question in regards to the electronics communication agreement. But as Jan said, I think we're building up to a motion. I would like to suggest, if nobody else is ready to suggest a motion, I can make a suggestion. Okay. Does anybody want to craft a motion or put something forward in regards to these matters we've been discussing? Okay, so what I'd like to suggest is that this be blend into
The agenda item that Vanessa Ditzenberg proposed at our very first meeting to set goals and benchmarks, it doesn't really say that. It says additional proposals. No, set committee goals for the year by, and this was moved by Vanessa Ditzenberg. So what I'd like to suggest is that that out of that proposal that we develop a working group to look at those three items on the very last item on the agenda. So that's what I would like to propose, and I would ask the secretary to ask for volunteers. Jan, can you ask for volunteers?
Chair, a personal point of privilege, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so I did make a suggestion, but it had to do with bylaws revisions and not non-disclosures.
Okay.
Those were not suggestions that I made.
Okay. I got it. I've heard from some listeners that they are interested in coming up with a bylaws amendment process to submit bylaws amendments. So is that sort of what you had in mind, Vanessa?
That is much more what I had in mind, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you put something together for the committee? And I'll be willing to work with you. Anybody else willing to work with Vanessa on this?
So when you say put something together, you're referring to a motion or?
Well, a motion, maybe even a process. I'm sure you could consult with some other directors and some other SPE members to come up with something that we could chew on, for lack of a better word.
Sure, I'll be happy to work on that with anybody who would also like to participate.
Okay, is there anyone else who would like to participate? Okay. So you got me, Vanessa.
Okay,
I didn't hear anybody else. Okay, and then the last agenda item, I'd like to put something together for the committee to consider. So give me to our next meeting, and I'll bring something forward, if that's okay. So the last item on the agenda was non-disclosure agreements, electronic communications agreement, and an ethics criteria for all Pacifica governance members. And then I'm also going to add EDI, equity, diversity, and inclusion, and an anti-bullying process, training, and a sexual harassment training, which is mandatory for, I believe, most nonprofits, and I know government agencies, we have to do it every year. So. Does anyone have anything they want to say about any of these proposals? Okay. To be honest with you, I need some buy-in. I work better collectively than I do individually. So can somebody help us?
Chair, could you repeat?
Sorry.
Hold on. Who's speaking before Vanessa?
It was Violetta. I was trying to determine if you were asking for volunteers to help on the NDA proposal, or you were just talking about generally buy-in or working for a solution.
Well, I'm definitely looking for volunteers for both.
to help Vanessa and to help me.
Okay.
So, Violetta, are you volunteering?
For the NDA, depending on what days, I would be willing.
Okay.
For those three things, you know that.
Richard, may I ask a question?
Yeah, Richard, go ahead. Please ask your question.
Is there now no uniform policy on non-disclosure agreements, and you want to make it more uniform? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. And I also want to make the electronic communication agreement and the ethics criteria piece more uniform.
When the new LSB gets started in December or whatever, the people coming in would have a package of things that they need to address and sign and stuff.
Yes.
That sounds reasonable.
Stephanie Wells is also working on the manual as well, and she's taken some of my input, but I definitely want it uniform and formalized.
Yeah.
Jim to the stack, Lawrence?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I would also, I'd like to know more about this NDI stuff that you're talking about. Also, a hostile work environment would do wonders if people were actually trained in that throughout the entire system. Because there's all sorts of countless examples where that comes into the foreground. And I think that having people trained, if there's something, I realize that there's a cost factor here and all that, but, it just seems that would be a really, between sexual harassment, hostile work environment, and these other issues you're talking about, I think that would actually help contribute to a better workforce in doing radio and all that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Okay,
Chair, point of information. Jim just raised the issue of cost, and I'm just wondering if our human resources specialist might actually perhaps have the skills to do those workshops.
Yeah, that's a question. One of the things I was going to do in doing my research and putting something together was to reach out to NEDA Human Resources, Cynthia Dobink, in regards to, I know I have some resources that will be probably no cost. Those are the ones that I will opt in for. So those are some of the resources that I've been talking about for a while now that I would definitely like to collaborate with the ED and our HR department as well, another HR. So I don't know if that answers the question. Go ahead, Mr. McFadden.
I wanted to just say that as a coincidence, today I work for UC Berkeley, and today I actually did my bi-yearly ethics training and a separate one for sexual harassment that's required from all employees for UC. And what the process there is basically you go online and it's a 1 to 2 hour, depending on how fast you read and answer questions. But it's basically an online maze that you go through to where you answer some questions and you read some material and listen to some tapes and of situations and to familiarize yourself with what you actually need to do in these situations. If you're somebody who observes sexual harassment, in the case of sexual harassment training, if you're someone who is, what to do if you are harassed, what's considered harassment. And it's pretty innocuous. It's pretty easy to do to set up these things that I would assume some kind of a
video like that that you would run through, or you know, might be fairly inexpensive to implement. But what I wanted to get on top of this, you actually need somebody who, when some kind of situation arises, that's going to be the intermediary in those situations. And the university, being a big organization, has those people who are there all the time available to deal with this. So you also have to have, and I don't know what the structure is within, if that's outlined in the bylaws, but you need some kind of a structure if you're going to do this, where a process is defined for how to go through and report and mediate and work through the process and with how it's going to be resolved, who's going to be deciding how it's going to be resolved when something like that happens. And it's not going to be easy, but perhaps there's some simple models out there to do this. Just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you, Jim. I mean, James. Anyone else that want to speak, then I'll call on myself to clarify a few things. Anyone else want to speak?
Yeah, Jim,
okay.
Just back on this.
Yeah, who was that that asked for the stack again? I heard Jane. Anyone else?
Lauren?
Hi, Jim.
Marisol, what's that?
Jim, okay. Is that Jane?
Marisol.
Oh, Marisol. Go ahead, Marisol.
Can you hear me?
And then Jim, and then I'll call on myself. I could have sworn I heard Jane. Go ahead, Marisol.
Yes, Lauren. So I have to get going, but I would like to see this governance committee in regards to members knowing how to conduct business, as in creating the agenda and pushing it forward, since this is the committee, the governance committee, that sets the agenda for our general meeting. I think there should be some training in regards to that. And other than that, I am willing to support, include me in the emails. I could help out in regards to language and any ideas as we move forward and brainstorm together. Thank you.
Thank you, Marisol. So hold on 1 second. Just to answer Marisol's question, you're always welcome to email our secretary, Jane, and suggest items for the agenda. But I think what you're saying is that we should all expose ourselves to putting an agenda together, right? So that's
yeah.
There was an agenda email to you, and there was an agenda that I read out loud for the stream. So your volunteer suggestion is more than welcome. Thank you. I think I heard Jim,
Chair,
and then I'd like to...
Point of information, please, Chair.
Go ahead, state your question, Vanessa.
Okay. It's my understanding, if I'm understanding Marisol correctly, that she wants us to have those skills because we are involved in the process of proposing an agenda for the larger body. So maybe I'm not understanding, but there is a coordinating committee. Unless I'm just not understanding her point.
Yeah, that coordinating committee is only for directors. It doesn't include Marisol is an LSV member from KPFK. So she's sort of outside of that that realm.
Okay.
I think her point is well taken.
Okay.
And Marisol, if you want to just put a little paragraph or two together in regards to what you mean and send it to our secretary, Jane, that'd be good. I think I heard Jim, and then I like to call him myself if no one else is. Then we're close to adjourning. I think we have 7 minutes left.
Well,
ahead,
I think Marisol is raising an interesting question, and I interpret the question as, you know, and Marisol can correct me, but sort of capacity building as to how to put an agenda together, you know, sort of basic training on that. I think that's how I interpret it. I thought we would find that kind of training useful. Now, point of information, when Maxie was the ED, there was a service that he had I don't know if it was Netta, it was some other outfit, maybe it was, I'm not sure. But they actually provided those kind of tutorials that Jim is talking, Mr. McFadden is talking about. And I've actually taken the sexual harassment training. The Bertolt once was doing it, and I was in the office, and I decided, okay, let me take it too. And it takes about an hour, but the question, of course, if you have to administer it to 1,000 volunteers, because that's the interpretation I have of the CPB requirement. You're talking about, you know, 1,000 times whatever dollar figure it is to educate everybody, although it's well worth it. But, you know, that's a cost factor to consider. But I do think a worthwhile cost factor as we go forward, because it does indeed provide and create a much better work environment. And, again, I insist on that hostile work environment issue, because there's too much behavior that is bordering on subjecting the foundation to unnecessary litigation. And it would be best addressed if there were, sort of mandatory training for producers and staff to and LSB members and governance on those kind of questions. Because, like, you know, I don't want to get into it, but I can think of a number of situations walking around right now that are in that category, and they would be best diminished as a problem if that was done. And, you know, anyway, that's all I have to say. But anyway, it's interesting to hear that, what Marisol raised, because I do think capacity building is very important to teach those skills across all different parts of this committee and other committees.
Absolutely, Jim. So if there's no one else, I'll call on myself. Anyone else want to speak on this? Okay.
Yes,
so. Sir? Yeah, is that Carol? I think it's Carol. Well,
yes,
Marisol, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to concur. Yes, that's exactly what I was alluding to. It's capacity building in regards to creating and conducting and pushing towards the agenda for the rest of the governance. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Marisol. Your contributions were critical. I know you have to leave, but if you could just remain for 1 minute. I don't want to say subjective, but I'm required. I think that's a better way. I'm required, and I know Jane understands this because she worked for the government as well. I'm required to take sexual harassment training, policy of equity, anti-bullying. Policy of equity is when there's inequity, that you become a mandated reporter. See something, say something is the model. And also, now they just added active shooter training and violence in the workplace. So I agree with Jim. This is something that's long overdue, that takes us into the 21st century, so to speak. Or the next century. And I think it's just very critical. So, and then most of those are, like James was saying, most of those trainings are done online, because everything's virtual right now. So they're done online. And I could, I could request for those platforms to be donated, or I could solicit donations from my local that provided the training to me to, maybe provide a grant to engage in that training. So that's what I have to say. We have 3 minutes left before we adjourn. Anybody want to speak? Okay. Jane, is there anything you want to say before we adjourn? Jane? Oh, we didn't lose her. Jane, is there anything you want to say in response to all the information that we spoke about tonight? Okay, I don't hear Jane unmuting. So, all right. So, I will reach out to Terry
Goodman and John P. Gary III to ask them if they could put ballots together for the chairperson election between Richard Uzel and myself, Lawrence Reyes. Listeners listening to the stream, if there's any input you want to provide, please write to pnb@pacifica.org, and in your subject line, put governance, the governance committee, PNB governance committee, and provide your input. So if there's nothing else to be said, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move. By Marisol.
Okay. Marisol moves to adjourn.
Second.
And second by Michael. Is there any opposition or any objections to adjourning? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone, for attending tonight. And look out for your ballots and some of the input that I hope to receive, we hope to receive.
Oh, Lawrence, what's the deadline for voting?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the deadline for voting should be 2 weeks from now, because we don't meet for – hold on one second. Actually, we meet the – oh, I'm glad that you stopped me, Vanessa, because I wanted to offer the committee for us to meet on Zoom. I could provide that Zoom information and the Zoom link for the committee to meet. Next time we meet will be the fourth Wednesday of the month, unless there's a recommendation to change the date and time. I know Carol had requested that we meet earlier. I don't know what you want to do about that, Carol.
Yeah, I was hoping that we could meet at 4 o'clock, but was wondering if there was a problem with that.
Okay, so you just put it out there and then see what people think. Does anybody object to meeting at 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern?
The 8:30 works better for me.
8:30 works better for you? That was Michael, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so if people could, so that's Michael... cannot meet. He prefers 8:30 Eastern time. Is there any other input in regards to remaining with the same time or moving to 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern? So which one is it going to be? There's two proposals. There's the 8:30 Eastern, which is 6:30 Central. No.
Could be larger.
5:30 Eastern. I mean 5:30 Pacific. Go ahead, Richard. Sorry.
Richard, excuse me, Richard, for the stack. Couldn't you just do a little survey? Excuse me. Couldn't you just do
right,
a little survey?
Go, Richard, because I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead. I didn't hear you.
I said, couldn't you do a little survey to find out what people think about that rather than just saying hit or miss right now?
Okay, I could.
There's even a survey monkey or something like that.
A doodle.
You want to do a doodle? Who can help with that? Jane, do you know how to do a doodle? Doodle or whatever?
Doodle, yeah.
Jane?
Or how about Carol for the stack?
Go ahead, Carol.
How about if everybody just emails Jane with their preferred time, and then you and Jane, you know, can look at it.
That sounds something doable.
Email the time.
Okay. Vanessa to the staff.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Just wondering if either time would not allow someone to attend. Like if it's at 8:30, you can't attend. If it's 7, you can't attend. Is it a preference,
right,
or is it – preferences are important too. But is it like a necessity?
Sometimes it might be – sometimes I would not be able to attend. Sometimes I would.
At what time?
At the 4 o'clock my time, 7 o'clock. If it was 5:30, then it becomes more difficult sometimes. Whereas 4 o'clock is more workable.
Michael, okay. Wright, for me, I have another meeting at 7 o'clock that I came from.
Okay. So why don't we, I think we should take the suggestion that Vanessa gave, that we email Jan and myself, and then
that
we will.
Not my suggestion. I don't want to take that.
Okay. But that was somebody else's suggestion.
Yeah,
okay.
That was Carol.
Oh, that was Carol's suggestion. Okay. Is any objections to doing that by email?
No.
Okay. All right. Then I'd like to take a snapshot if you want me to set up a Zoom for the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay. That was a yes from Carol?
Yeah.
Okay. Is anybody objectionable to doing our next meeting on Zoom? Okay. If no objections, I'll set up the Zoom for the next meeting, which will be on the fourth Wednesday of the month. And let me just tell you when that is. And then depending on who's chair, they will facilitate the meeting. We should know by then as well.
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
Does that include, can you set it up so that can still be streamed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely could be streamed, yeah. We'll set it up. I'll consult with Otis about that, or Fred, because we stream our LSV meetings as well. Okay, so... All right, so June the 4th, Wednesday in June is the 23rd of June.
22nd.
Oh, 22nd. Thank you. I was looking at Thursday. The 22nd and what do I have? I don't have negotiations anymore. I had negotiations on there. I don't have negotiations anymore. All right, so the 22nd. And time to be determined, and I will consult with Otis and Fred in regards of how to stream the meeting. Okay? So there was a motion to adjourn by Marisol. Are there any objections to adjourning? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned.